Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So it is Thursday, 2:08 p.m., and right here on June 2nd, and Copper's out today, so Kelsey's running the board. Kelsey, how you doing? Is there a Kelsey in the house? Kelsey,
here,
where
I'm
you
here,
at?
I'm here. What? I'm doing good.
There is no snoozing on Right Side Radio, just so you know. Hey, Kelsey, thanks for sitting in for Copper today. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's no problem.
All right, man. Well, listen, hey, get that triple dipper sound effect ready. Hey, folks, we got a great show for you. I got some topics. I'll be honest with you, this first section I'm going to go through on the triple dipper, I think it's going to curl your hair a little bit. But just know this, at 4 o'clock, one of my favorite times of every single week is at the 4 o'clock hour on Thursdays, Grand Council with myself and Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Ping each other with questions, go back and forth, see how we do. We don't know the questions in advance. We just check each other and sort of gut check each other. But that's at 4 o'clock, the Grand Council. In the meantime, though, I do have a full triple dipper of stuff. So, Kelsey, go ahead and hit it.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will. It's you've got to know. Like here's number one. Number one in the triple dipper, I'm calling it woke in your face. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Woke is going way beyond that other part of culture that we don't have to dabble in. No, they're in your face. They're in your pocketbook. They're in your retirement accounts. They're in your children's schools. And I got some stories here that are literally going to bring some of that to the forefront in ways that perhaps you hadn't even seen happening. So that's number one of the triple dipper, woke in your face. Number two on the triple dipper, election aftershocks. I did some of that yesterday, doing more today. I mean, it's getting thick, y'all. People are calling for new elections in some places here in Alabama. We got votes separated by one. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Election aftershocks, number two on the triple dipper. Number three, Bama's Bidenomics. Bama's Bidenomics? Yes, Bama's Bidenomics. I mean, we can see the GDP, we can see the consumer price index, we can see the national unemployment rates, but how about what we see right here at home? Like, what are we seeing in our grocery stores? What are we seeing at the kitchen table as we talk? What are we seeing on the ability to pay for a vacation if you want one? Yeah. Bama's Bidenomics, we'll talk about it in detail. But listen, as I go into my comments for today, let me just tell you, I'm about to say some things here that's going to make some of you kind of sit up straight in your chair and think, man, Phil's is just laying it out there today. And I am. I'm going to be very serious when I say this. What I'm about to say is not something that I take lightly. But let me just start off by doing this. Let me ask you a question. Serious question. Rhetorical, but serious. What if you were a business owner, right? And you had an employee who was told up front that there were standards that had to be met at work, but they just didn't feel like doing it. I mean, seriously, how well would that go over? Let me advance the question even further. What if you had an employee who was told that professional attire was required, but they showed up in tattered jeans, a t-shirt, and flip-flops? Or how about if you told them that customers were the lifeblood of the business, but they had no problem just putting customers in their place whenever they felt like it, and they were generally rude to the customers? Or how about this? What if they were shown what quality of work was expected, but they just never followed through adequately? What would you do? I hope that you'd show them the door. Termination for cause, without delay. I mean, why would you not? When that kind of thing happens in the workplace, it diminishes the value of the business's good name. It also works against the morale of the other employees who see someone not being held to the same standards. And it's tough. And I've been in those positions before in the military and the private sector. Standards, conditions, expectations, they matter. And if they're not actually followed through on, well, the organization can suffer in a variety of ways. But let me take it a step further. There's two sides here. The employer must follow through. There's an old adage that you can't expect what you don't inspect. Well, an absentee boss or a boss that won't give constructive feedback, that's not really a boss. The other side of this, though, is the employee who was told in advance of the expectations and requirements of the job and then gets surprised when they're enforced. I mean, what do they think was going to happen? How could someone act surprised or, worse yet, indignant when the standards that were clearly outlined in the beginning are actually being upheld? It's antithetical to common sense. I mean, in baseball, you don't get four strikes, you get three. In football, you don't get a first down after 9 yards. It takes 10. In the military, you don't pass the PT test without doing push-ups. And in driving, you have to pass a test to get a license. Taxes have to be paid on time. If you don't own something, you can't just take it and make it your own. That's called theft. Life has standards at every turn. Actual standards that matter, because if they don't matter, then we have no institutions of, well, anything. College graduation comes after work. Payday comes after work. Trophies are supposed to be awarded after work because there's standards. They matter. So having said all that, why then is it okay for the Christian church to keep taking it on the chin without saying anything about it? Oh, you didn't see that question coming, did you? Think about it. The tenets of the Christian faith, whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or a full gospel Methodist, the tenets and beliefs of the Christian faith are largely unified around the Bible as the underlying document, the root basis for the faith, and it lays things out pretty clearly. And yet at every turn, Christians are shouted down as being intolerant, but we're not. We're told that we have to modify the Bible to fit today's standards, but we won't. We're told that the standards espoused in the Bible are outdated, no longer apply, but they do. But too often in the face of this challenge to the very fabric of Christianity, the church remains silent. Now, I'm not talking about politics here. I don't care if a Christian church stays out of endorsements of candidates. That's fine. But they could certainly ask candidates where they stand on the issues, and they should. On matters of public policy, it is not likely that a church is going to address things like taxes or fiscal policy or international relations. But on matters that contravene the teachings of Jesus, why would the church not address them? My own pastor asked once from the pulpit, he said, "What if we're wrong? What if our faith isn't real?" But he followed up by then saying, "So what would I have lost," he said, "by having lived according to a belief system that encourages love and loyalty and fidelity and charity?" But see, the left doesn't see that. In recent days, left-wing pundits have claimed that Christian extremists are responsible for school shootings. How ridiculous is that? And we just take it and don't say anything. That Christians should apply, you know, or applaud drag queen story time for children. How about no? Or that abortion should not be questioned, or that violence in the streets is acceptable. Listen, in the past 2 years, we've seen cultural issues that could well have been addressed by faith leaders left to the secular world to deal with, and the faith leaders say nothing. When rioters burn down whole city blocks, I don't recall hearing the clergy call for calm and say enough is enough. When critical race theory is foisted upon students and teaches these students that they were made by God to be either an oppressor or an oppressed by virtue of their skin color, I have not heard an outcry from the church to call that theory down specifically and remind that its proponents that we are all made in the image of God, that sin comes from man, not the Creator. When the image of the rainbow, which has been known for thousands of years as a symbol of God's promise, is co-opted to become the symbol of LGBTQ activism, why doesn't anybody from the church point it out? Make no mistake, I know and I believe that the first and foremost mission of the church as a whole is the advancement of the kingdom of God, the tending of the souls of the flock, the care and the concern for the needy and downtrodden, the saving of souls. It should be that way. But when culture demands that Christianity change to fit the latest trends of culture, well, there should be a firm and unrelenting and very public stance that says no. Faith leaders, pastors need to speak up, because there are standards. There are mores. There are positions of faith that mean something, and if we don't stand by them, then the faith itself becomes tattered and worn down. And yes, it becomes meaningless. The church must speak with love and compassion into culture. Faith leaders with wisdom and discernment must take that hard stand that will not always be popular to protect the sanctity of the fabric of the faith that they've been called to minister. We need the church to speak out in times such as these. The flock needs to know that the shepherd carries a stick to keep the lions and the bears away from the flock. It's part of being a shepherd. We need the church to speak. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there's going to be some that disagree. And Copper, I mean, Kelsey, you can move us to the break now. But there's going to be some that disagree with that. But how many times have you sat around and wondered why that thing, culturally speaking, happens, and there's no pastor saying stop? There's no church leader saying that's not right. Well, guess what? It's not right, and we need them to speak. It should not be the flock doing the shepherd's duty. We need the church to speak out. It is beyond time. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.